Morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. So it's James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let me read verse 5 again. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. So the idea of the CMP this morning, you know, even before I get into the word a little bit, is, you know, I've been loving what P. Sam has been preaching on over the last few weeks, hearing God's voice. I mean, personally for me, that's something that, I mean, what I love the most about it is because I'm so passionate about this topic. It's because I think most of my ministries, and you know, most of the time when I evangelize to people or whatnot, my MO, you know, my modus operandi, right? How I typically do things is I like to hear from God, right? And that's just how I like to do it. And what I love about his message is how easy it is, right? Like, I mean, obviously, it's not like, you know, I don't want to make it seem like he's saying, oh, it's super easy and stuff like that. But the truth he's speaking about is, you know, as a believer of Christ, it is our right to be able to hear from God, every one of us. And the way he's been explaining it to people has been it's been a blessing to me because it's really helped me kind of formulate, if I ever have to explain myself to people, you know, who can hear from Christ, how can we hear from Christ? It makes it a lot easier for me to explain, especially because I know it's something I believe in so much. But this idea of being able to hear from God, I think is really interesting because especially when you're preaching to a congregation of believers like us, we desire to hear from God, right? Every one of us wants to be able to say, hey, Lord, you know, here I am, you know, speak to me, tell me, you know, what do you desire of me? How can I serve you more? What is it that, you know, how can I live my life for you? But when you're talking to a non-believer, I find that, you know, when I talk to them about hearing the voice of God, it's actually one of the more difficult things to talk about. Because, you know, when I share my faith, that's one of the things I share a lot about. It's just, you know, they ask me, you know, Ricky, why did you come to Hong Kong? And I told them, well, in 2005, God said to me, Ricky, I want you to come back to Hong Kong. And they give me this look. They're like, were you in Lan Kwai Fong when you heard this? You know, were you, I don't know, inebriated, you know, when you were saying this? And I'm like, no, you know, I heard from God. You know, he said, come back to Hong Kong. And so what I try to explain to my friends that are non-believers that, you know, as a Christian, I can hear from God. They're always so skeptical. And I mean, you can't really blame them, right? I mean, I was once a non-believer, and I can imagine. Well, I mean, I think for me, I've always wanted to desire higher power, I guess. But there's, you know, there's such an intellect in this world. There's such, you know, a method of living and the things that we see that I would think that if I heard what I would talk about, you know, be healed in Jesus' name, you know, I command your body, all these things, that I would probably, if I've never experienced it and I wasn't Christian, I'd probably be like, man, what do you want, you know, whatever you're on, like, sell it. I'm sure you'll make a lot of money or whatever the case may be, right? So a lot of it has to do with how do we show people that this is real? And this is hard because if you look at the world around us, there's just so much false advertising, right? I mean, even as Christians, right, we tell people, hey, believe in God. You know, come to church. Jesus is the answer. But when push comes to shove, right, do we really believe in this? Do we really believe that Jesus is the answer? Or do we cling to the things that the world teaches us, right? The MOs that we should, you know, that the world lives by. And, you know, when I was trying to think of examples of this, right, is, you know, I love, you know, just to take a tangent, I love business and I love especially healthy things, businesses that promote healthiness. And I remember I was pushing this product once to a friend of mine. It's called Pepsi Naked. Have you guys ever heard of it? And Pepsi Naked, what it is, it's they advertise it. It's an all-natural drink, right? And I mean, I love juice. And so I remember after basketball one time, I was going up to my friend. I was like, hey, man, you know, forget Gatorade. That stuff is not good for you. You know, it's hard on the liver. You know, it's hard for you to digest. You should drink Pepsi Naked. And he's like, why? Because I was like, it's like fruit juice. You know, it's good for you. All these sort of things. Well, you know, a few months later, I find out, well, there's this huge lawsuit against them because it's not really naked. It's not really all natural. They found out there's formaldehyde in it. And if, I don't know if you guys know what it is. Formaldehyde is a chemical that basically preserves organic tissue. And, you know, in science labs, you'll see these huge jars of, like, you know, rats and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, sorry to be gross. but they're being, you know, held in it. But, you know, formaldehyde's bad for you. It kills you if you drink enough of it. And so, I felt really cheated. Well, first of all, I felt a bit of a goat because I was telling my friend to drink this stuff. And then I personally felt pretty cheated by this, right? You know, I think an even better example of this is Hong Kong, the housing market. And you guys know how expensive Hong Kong is. Have you guys seen those big advertisings of these buildings, right? They're so grand. Well, one of them is, it's called the Grand, right? Or the Cove, right? And the picture in it is like there's this huge, beautiful beach, you know, beside it. And then on the other side, you'll see this huge field, you know, with kids running around. Well, I've been living in Hong Kong for, I don't know, like 8 years. I was born here. I used to come back every year. And I've never seen a field like that before, you know, where there's a huge building and there's a huge field with nothing on it except grass and kids playing on it. Well, I don't know where, I don't know what Hong Kong they live in, but I've never seen it, you know. And to be honest, I would not want to buy, I would want to buy a place like that. But the truth of the matter is it doesn't exist, you know. And even early last year, I think Sun Hong Gate, you know, like the, I don't know what they're called in English, but one of the developers actually also had to go through a lawsuit because it was false advertising, you know? And people were saying, hey, this is not really what your building is about. Why are you advertising it this way? So, I can't blame my friends when I tell them, hey, God is real. You can talk to them. You can hear God's voice, and they don't believe me. Because they're just so bombarded by all these people and advertisements and events telling them, hey, believe in this, believe in that. This is real. This is not. But let me take a step back here, right? Because, you know, what does that have to do with James or the devotional for this morning, right? You know, when I was reading about this, James is actually a very interesting book because it's actually, when you look at it, compared to a lot of the New Testament, it's actually really different, you know, especially when you look at a lot of the New Testament is Pauline letters, right, you know, and Paul, in a lot of his letters, especially if you look at Romans, you know, Ephesians, all these things, he talks about being justified through faith, you know, he talks about being, you know, we don't have to do good works to get to God, we don't have to try so hard to, you know, do big things, you know, all we simply need to do is believe in God. And we have been justified through Christ and his death for us. And because of that, we can do good works. But James, he's all about works, you know. Faith without works is dead, you know. And it seems like they contrast each other and to a point where Martin Luther actually detested the book of James. And he actually called it, the book of James, the epistle of straw. Basically, what he was saying is the epistle of James, you know, it holds no weight. You know, is unable to really have authority. And the reason is because it seems like it juxtaposes the Pauline letters and the Pauline teaching so much. But actually, that's not true. James, what James is saying and also what Paul is saying is actually very similar. Now, Paul says, look, you don't have to try so hard. We are justified through faith, but because you are justified through faith, you are now free to do good works. But what James is saying is this, if you don't do good works, without works, there is no indication that you have been made justified through faith. You guys see the difference, right? Like, it's not that James is saying if you know, the only way to God is through works. It's not. He's saying that if you are a believer of Christ, if you love the Lord and the Holy Spirit is in you, good works should just naturally flow from you. And he believed it so much that he suggested that if you don't do these good works, maybe you don't believe in God. You know, maybe your faith just isn't what you think it is. And so this I think is really important because James, when he talks about these things, you know, when he's addressing this idea of good works, really what he's saying is putting your money where your mouth is, right? Putting your money where your mouth is. It's not just so much that, you know, you talk the talk of what faith is, but walking the walk. He's saying it's not good enough to have head knowledge of, you know, oh, God is good, how good he is, but then not really living it out. And this idea, I think, is really important, especially when we're talking to Christianity, right? And the authenticity of faith, especially after we're talking about false advertising, right? Because how often, I think because it happens in the church too, because we'll tell our friends, hey, come to church with me. You know, hey, you know, God is good. Jesus is the answer. But then, you know, when they're looking at our own lives, right? When they look at the way we work, when they look at the way we act, right? Does it really show? Do we really believe that God is the answer? Or are we kind of just like those advertisements, right? Beautiful building, huge field, you know? And then when they see the real thing, it's like this tiny little field, you know, like, you know, you can barely fit into anything with, right? Much like ourselves, right? Hey, God is the answer. Become a Christian. I'm a Christian, you know? But when we go to work, you know the world drinks, you know? They have this method of doing things, right? Oh, if I don't do it, I'm not going to get ahead. If I don't follow this way, I'm not going to be able to, you know, do the things that God wants me to do. Do we follow that method? And I know James is talking about this is because, you know, James is actually, well, in James 1:1, he says to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. I know he's talking about the Messianic Jews, right? And specifically, he's talking about Jews that's living in communities of Gentiles, and specifically outside of Palestine. So we know that they have their own religions, you know, their own values, their own methods of living. And what James is really addressing to them is this, right? You living in these Gentile communities, are you being the salt and the light of these communities? Are you conforming yourselves to the methods and the beliefs that these communities have? You know, do you really believe that, you know, what you preach in front of these people, and are you living a good witness to these people? Now, for me personally, one of the best examples I could really think of is with my parents. And my parents, they weren't Christian at the time. So back in 2000, and I think it was 2007, 2008, this was a time when I was trying to make a decision whether I should go and do missions in Beijing. And most of you guys know I shared this. I went up there and I worked with the Chinese national athletes, which was pretty amazing. And I got to teach them. I coached them, you know, life skills. I got to teach them English. I developed courses for them and whatnot. But in reality, it was a missions thing. You know, it was business as missions. We created an actual company. You know, we labeled it as a corporate training, you know, that sort of company, educational company. But they invited us in, and this was all God's favor. But the pay was not very good. I mean, you know, it was pretty bad. Well, you know, it wasn't very good. And so I remember telling my parents this, and I actually had a job at the time. And so, you know, as good parents who loved me, but who weren't Christian, who had the world values, they said to me, Ricky, you know, are you sure you should be doing this? You have a good career, you know, you got here, you found a job really easily. You know, you're still doing engineering. You know, you're up in the factories. Your bosses have told you, hey, you know, eventually we want you to, like, lead the factories and the designs and stuff. Are you sure you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, I feel like God's speaking to me, you know. And then, of course, they pull out the big guns, right? They'll be like, hey, Ricky, how can you take care of other people if you can't take care of yourself? You know, or maybe more specifically, they did it in a Chinese accent, right? How can you take care of other people if you cannot take care of yourself, right? And for me, I was like, yeah, that sounds really right. You know, it's true. How can I, you know, if I don't make anything, how can I take care of people, you know, with what I do? And actually, I was very tempted to agree with them because, one, part of me didn't want to go up because I know it was going to be tough. And I didn't really speak Mandarin at the time. But I knew God was speaking to me. Well, praise God, because about a year and a half later, I remember saying, well, I mean, before I went up, I said to them, no, that's not how God works. God says, you know, do his will and he'll take care of me. Well, about a year and a half later, I think partly because of the testimony that I lived out, they came to Christ, right? They believed in God. They recognized that, you know, what I believed wasn't just something that I said. It was something that I lived out. And I try to imagine, what if I said to them, yeah, you're right, you know, and then I decided not to go. I think God could have spoke to them in other ways, but the idea behind it, you know, when I was thinking about it was, you know, how much do I believe in God that I'm willing to live my life according to his ways, right? Could you imagine? It's like, hey, mom, dad, you know, God, Jesus is good. He takes care of you. Well, Ricky, how can you take care of other people if you can't take care of yourself? You're right. I'm not going to go. You know, it doesn't really make a great case for how good God is. And so when we take a look at this verse, especially in verse 5, right, he's talking about, look, guys, I can give you wisdom to live according to my ways, right? He's saying this, any of you lacks wisdom, let him who ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And the idea of hearing God's voice now is this, right? In our workplaces, or even in not just in our work, but in our life, when we come across times of difficulty, do we ask God, God, what do I do? Right? And not only do we ask him, what do I do? You know, one of the things P. Sam says is, do we listen to that voice? Do we say, okay, now that you've told me, I'm going to live explicitly by it. Now, the Bible is not explicit in all things. Remember, P. Sam said, you know, you may be thinking, God, should I date this guy? You know, the Bible won't say, you know, Janella, date this guy. You know, he's not going to say that. But it does give us practical wisdom. And how do we know? It's because wisdom in verse 5 is actually the word Sophia. Actually, I'm beginning to love this name because of, you know, what it means. Sophia actually just doesn't mean knowledge. It actually means practical wisdom, skills in the affairs of life, wise management in forming the best plans while using the best methods and having moral insight. So James, when he's telling us this, is this. When he's saying God is going to give you wisdom, he's saying God's going to give you practical wisdom, how to live your life well, be able to make the best plans using the best methods, having morals while you do these things. And so are you, you know, as a church, how are you living your life, you know? How are we living our lives? Now, I know one of the hardest things in Hong Kong, especially in finance, right? Or even having worked in China, right? The only way you can do business in China is if you drink. I mean, this is something I hear a lot, and this is something I was told before, too. Now, are we going to work according to the method of this world? Or are we going to believe in God? Right? Are we going to, every time something difficult comes our way, you know, are we going to say, no, I'm a little worried that if I do this, you know, if I don't do that, I'm going to lose my job, or I'm not going to be able to get ahead? Or are we going to believe the wisdom that God gives to us is real? And not only is it real, it's good. And not only is it good, that it's good enough for us to not only talk about, but to express, right, to manifest into our lives, right? And I love the example that P. Sam gave. And this is, you know, I think it's the same story, right? But I remember asking Chris about this once. And Chris Lee, I don't know if you guys know him, in Beijing, right? He used to be in law here. And he would tell me, you know, every Christmas party, they would try to get him to drink. And he wouldn't do it, right? And I remember asking him, you know, it was very quickly. I was like, at the time, I don't know why I asked this to him. Maybe God was helping me get revelation or something. But I asked him, hey, Chris, aren't you worried that, you know, if you don't drink, you know, your colleagues aren't going to like you? You know, you might lose your job and all that stuff. And he said to me, right, you know, forget the blessing and all that stuff, right? And God blessed him, you know, PCM told us that. You know, but something he said that was so profound to me. He said, you know what, Ricky, I do this because I know God gave this to me. And if me following God makes me lose my job, it's a job worth losing. You know, this is a job worth losing. Because for me, my relationship with God is so much more important than this job, and more so my witness to the those in my job, because they know I'm Christian. You know, I talk to them all the time about coming to church. Now what if, you know, when they force me to drink or ask me to drink, you know, out of fear I do it, you know, basically my witness is dead. Basically everything I told him is dead, you know. And so let's close our eyes. I don't want to take too long. And you know, as Janella comes up and leads us, let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us and really reflect on this. You know, James tells us, if any of us lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You know, we're all going to go through tough times. I mean, you know, whether it's at work or it's in life, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in families, you know. What is our MO? You know, what is our modus operandi? What do we do first? Do we go to God for wisdom? Or do we simply look at what the world is doing? And then more importantly is when we go to God for wisdom, do we follow it? And I really believe that God, what P. Sam said, if our hearts are really to love God and hearing from him is easy because he comes in that still small voice and that conviction of our heart. You know, Ricky, don't do this. Ricky, don't do that. Ricky, don't get drunk. Ricky, don't, you know, look at these things or do those things. And do we believe in what we sell? You know, when we talk to our friends, do we really believe that God really knows what's best for us? And the second thing is, do our actions reflect that? Are we a good testimony to our faith? Do we put our money where our mouth is? Do we live a life that really glorifies God? So as Janella leads us, let's just, you know, let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's really respond to him. Take a minute to really ask God. You know, revelation, I think, oftentimes is easy. not so much in that, you know, it's from me or from PSAM or from us, whatever the case may be. But I think it's easy to hear something and then kind of be convicted of it. And I, again, this is not a judgment, right? Like, it's, I'm not saying that, you know, you guys are hearing something and whatnot. But I think it's important for us to do something about it too. It's important for us to respond in such a way that, you know, what James is talking about, right? Faith without works is dead. So really, let's take a minute and pray. God, is there something in my life there that right now, you know, I may not be living out the best of your word? Is there something where my first impression or the first thing I do when difficult time comes, you know, that isn't exactly of you? And Lord, if that's the case, show me and help me change. And then let's also ask God, God, is there something I can do this week too to really live out my faith? Yeah, let's take a minute to pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for your grace, Lord. We thank you, God. You know, it doesn't require works, God, for us to get to you. But God, works, Lord, you know, really is a manifestation, God, of where our heart truly lies, God, of how, you know, what we really do believe. But God, we thank you for grace, Lord, and for mercy. And that, God, you know, when we mess up, Lord, you don't condemn us, God, but Lord, you love us, God. And you encourage us, God, to live lives, Lord. God, your word tells us, Lord, therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that we received. And so, God, help us live out that calling, Lord. That, Father, the calling we received, Lord, not just as, you know, believers, God, but as sons and daughters, God. That we can live life, Lord, free, God, of the worries and the strife, God, that other people, you know, the people of the world that don't know you have to live by, God. You know, do I have enough or will I have enough? Lord, can we simply just believe, God, and live that way, God, and also to be a good testimony to you as well. So we thank you, God, for your word, Lord. So let's turn our focus to the community focus. Let's really pray for our community who's battling cancer. And also going through chemo and radiation therapy, or had to have gone through surgery to remove tumors, whatever the case may be. Let's really pray in faith and in power. The word does tell us, right? By his stripes we are healed. These are the signs that follow those that believe in my name. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will become well. Let's really pray in power today and really pray with a belief that not only, you know, when we pray that God will touch them, you know, and give them peace, but they will be healed. Yeah, let's really pray for them, intercede. Let's also pray for those in our community that need healing but also need salvation. Let's really pray that God really touches their hearts and opens their eyes and hearts and loves them into repentance. Let's really pray for them. Let's also pray for our community that's going through difficulty and infirmity. That's not cancer. Let's really pray that God touches them. And praise God, this list has gotten short over the past few weeks, you know, people being healed. So let's continue to pray in faith for healing over our friends and covering over their families. Pray for those in our community looking for work. Let's really pray for God's favor over them, over their, you know, their faces, their voices, you know, their resumes. There's something about them, you know, that companies want to hire. Let's also pray that God really prepares their hearts as well, you know, as they wait for God to give them a job, that, you know, as they step into these jobs, that they're ready not only for the work, but to really become the testimonies of God in their workplaces as well. So let's pray. Let's really lift up North Korea, South Korea, and Japan. Let's really pray that God really just brings His light into North Korea. Let's really lift up South Korea and the possibility of a future SP, maybe an SP soul in Korea. Let's pray that God really guides us in that way. Let's really pray for Japan as well. You know, it's such a dark place and hard place to overcome. But let's really pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and also Pastor P. Sophia, who's you know, training right now as a missionary to go into that place. Let's really cover her, you know, physically, spiritually, finances, all things. Let's really pray, you know, for you know, our missions into this area as well. Also pray for IP, Well, and Cascade. Let's really pray that God really covers them as they're on the front lines. Let's really pray against backlash and that God covers them against backlash. Let's really pray that God speaks to them as well, that it'll be clear, that they'll be able to really minister to those that they pray for, and also to be able to pray and hear for the church as well. Let's really cover the leaders and those that are in these ministries. actually, if you guys could also pray for The Well specifically this week, I'll actually be hosting a training for, you know, for The Well. And so if you could really just pray for breakthrough, really pray for the Spirit to come, for an anointing, for God to really deposit the gift of healing into His ministers, but really just really pray against fear. And I think that's one of the things that oftentimes is the hardest thing for praying for the sick is, you know, we don't want to be embarrassed or we're afraid it doesn't work. But let's just pray that, you know, it's a ministry of love, and, you know, those who receive the training can just receive from the Lord and just be able to minister. So if you guys could pray for that as well. Let's also pray for our men's and women's ministries. Let's really pray that God uses these ministries mightily to speak to the individual, to really call guys and, you know, and the girl, men and women to really rise up and to take hold of their faith. So let's really cover Tyler as he leads it, and Amanda, Bonnie, who leads women's ministry, and also cover the Monday retreat follow-ups as well after the men's retreat. Outreach that will happen tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and for Homie. Let's really pray that God anoints all the ministers that go out. Let's really pray for His light to really shine with them. And really pray the Lord to be with them as they go and serve our community. Pray for the house churches tonight as well. Let's pray for Austin West, Soho, Robin Hood. Let's ask God really comes and really just blesses their socks off with His Spirit, and, with His wisdom, with His knowledge, you know, with everything that He is. Let's pray for the leaders. Really ask that God will really speak to them in order to know how to lead and guide the house churches tonight. So let's really cover them. Thank you, Lord, that your word tells us, God, therefore there is no condemnation in those who are in Jesus Christ or is in Christ Jesus. And Father, so we know, God, we don't need to feel condemned, God, and we recognize, Lord, that, you know, our relationship with you is a process, God. And so, Lord, will you help us, Father, to live every day, God, to really live according to your word, according to your wisdom, according to your understanding, God. And help us not to just lean on ourselves. Father, will you really cover us, Lord, when we choose, Lord, to walk with your ways, God, that, Lord, we're not asking just for, you know, prosperity and whatnot, but Lord, really help us, God, because we want to be living testimonies for you, God. We want to show our friends not just, you know, our own faith, God, but how good you are and how real you are. But Father, the truth is, Lord, a lot of that comes from, you know, how we live our own lives, God. And Father, do we really put our money, God, where our mouth is, Lord? And so, God, would you really help us, God, do so? So, God, will you really cover my friends, God? Will you really bless them, Lord, in their workplaces? Will you protect them, God, in this week, Lord? And, Father, as they have their quiet time, Lord, will you really speak to them, God, in their heart of hearts as well? So, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for who you are, Lord, and what you've done for us. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen.